Amen. All right, so this morning's Palm Sunday, this is a little different. You know, if you're part of a traditional church, and especially in the Roman Catholic Church and in the Episcopal Church, Lutheran churches this morning, oh my God, talk about pomp and circumstance. You know, they got trumpets blaring and people, the procession coming in with the palms and all of that kind of stuff. And so some of you might be sitting there going, what is this scripture he's doing today? Well, we're following our theme that we have been concentrating on for the last 6 weeks. That Lent is a time that we ought to be thinking about practicing loving God with all of our heart and our souls and our minds. And that we ought to be loving one another as we love ourselves, and that we ought to take this command of Jesus really seriously. And what better time to talk about all of that than during the last 6 weeks? Amen? So here is the culmination of 6 weeks of reading Scripture. It comes from the 15th chapter of John, and yes, May Marie, I'm preaching from John. John 15, verses 11 through 17. Jesus said, I've told you these things for a purpose, that my joy might be your joy, and your joy wholly mature. This is my command. Love one another the way that I love you. This is the very best way to love. Put your life on the line for your friends. You are my friends when you do the things that I command you. I'm going to stop there for a minute because sometimes we have short memories. What was it that we just got commanded to do? Oh, yeah, love as Jesus has loved us. I am no longer calling you servants. Because servants don't understand what their master is thinking and planning. No, I have named you friends because I've let you in on everything that I've heard from the Creator. You didn't choose me, remember? I chose you and put you in the world to bear fruit, fruit that won't spoil. As fruit bearers, whatever you ask the Creator in relation to me, God gives you. But remember the root command, love one another. Amen? Now, sometimes I sit back and I ask myself, can it be any more obvious? Can it be any clearer what we are supposed to be doing, not only as individuals, but as a church? It seems to me to be silly simple. And it also seems to me that anything that steps us or pushes us outside of this command, we shouldn't be doing. Amen? And if you want an example of that, let's talk about active membership in a church. What right do we have to decide whether somebody's an active member or not? Denominations, listen to me. Find out a different way to make money than other than having churches pay so much per person that's an active member. Amen? By the way, what's the rule for feeding somebody? Do they have to be an active member of the church? When do we start praying for people? When they've been baptized and become an active member of the church? You see, to me, friends, if some of you are sitting there going, okay, Pastor, we get it, we get it. But to me, it is silly simple. Silly simple. Treat people how you want to be treated. If you want to be at the table, you know, I've been telling the transgender community for God only knows how long that y'all need to quit waiting for an invitation to the table. Walk up to the table, sit down, and make folks deal with you. And if they ask you to leave, you don't have to go anywhere, amen?
Dust yourself off. Thank God's everywhere.
Okay, so some of you, isn't 6 weeks a little long, Pastor? I found a story. Of course I found a story, right?
Goody.
There's a new pastor in a congregation. He preached his first sermon from the text, love one another. Huh? That's what we're doing. Love one another. And the people were pleased. Are you all pleased? That we're talking about loving one another? Yeah. And the next Sunday, the pastor preached the exact same sermon from the exact same text. Love one another. People were a little surprised. But when the preacher preached the same sermon the third week from the same text, the people were a little disturbed. Amen. This is where people think they can tell the pastor what to preach about. Amen. Hallelujah. The staff parish relations chairperson, hello, whatever that is, I guess the pastor's boss, confronted the new pastor with the obvious question. We're paying you good money. You're supposed to be a really good preacher.
Yeah, okay.
Why are you preaching the same sermon every week? And the pastor replied, when the congregation learns to practice this one, I'll write a new one. Amen. And that's what this 6 weeks has been about, folks. I know that some of you may be sitting there going, okay, can we talk about something else? But if we don't get that it's about love, then man, we are wasting our time as a church, as an organization, and as a people who say that we love God. And yes, it is not necessarily easy, because there are some hard things in this world, amen? We're talking about the Ukraine. I don't understand how most of us cannot just be beside ourselves with anger towards a world that's letting that happen. How can there be any debate as to whether we help the Ukrainians? Is it Ukrainians? I don't know. Ukrainians protect themselves. How is it that we, sitting here in Atlanta, can go by the underpasses and see people living under the underpasses, see people living in the streets, and not be moved to some kind of action? You see, Jesus said, and this is probably the most important, that's why I highlighted it, this is my command, love one another the way that I love you. How does Jesus love us? Anybody want to take a shot?
Unconditionally.
Unconditionally. What does unconditional love mean?
Agape.
Huh?
Agape.
Agape. Well, right. That's unconditional love. What does that mean? Come on.
Taking people right where they are.
Taking people right where they're at. That's step number one. Got that? Step number one. Take people right where they're at. Don't judge them.
Love them no matter what they do.
Love them no matter what their history, what they do. And I know I've already got people at home going, huh?
Always be forgiving.
Always what?
Always be forgiving.
Amen. And that's going to be my last point of the sermon, so you'll know when we're wrapping up. What else? Come on, James. I haven't heard from you.
Be willing to help them in their time of need, no matter what their circumstances are.
Okay, that's getting close to what I want to go to. You know, I always wonder, sometimes when we think about these things, we try to complicate it, right?
Conditional help?
Huh?
Conditional help?
Yeah. you know, if they would just get a job, if they would do this, if they would just get mental health help, if they just get off of drugs, all that kind of stuff. But see, here's the thing. I want you to follow the logic of this. Jesus said, love as I have loved you. And what did Jesus tell us was the way that we were going to love people and that he would know that we love people. Are you ready? Because you should know this if you've been part of this church for the last 20 years. I was hungry
and you fed me.
I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was sick and in prison and you visited me. I was naked, as they say in Georgia, and you clothed me. Folks, it is silly simple. Do you know somebody that's hungry? Do you know somebody that's thirsty? Do you know somebody that is sick and in prison? Do you know somebody that doesn't have enough clothes? What are you doing? And churches that are busy building these massive structures, begging you to empty your wallets, what are you doing to feed the hungry?
Clothe the naked.
Clothe the naked, etc., etc. Jesus' command was clear. By the way, for those of you who want to keep preaching about the Old Testament and all that kind of stuff, if you're going to follow Jesus, pay attention. Jesus gave us one command. One. Love one another. Do you all remember Jackie Robinson? Y'all remember him?
The ball player.
Yeah, he was the first black player to play in the major leagues. And I don't know if y'all seen the movie. I watched the movie. God, it was awful. It was a great movie. And I can tell you that Jackie Robinson, to do something that he loved, was a hero like we don't see very often. But to watch what people said to him trying to play the game, how people reacted to him when the team traveled from one town to the next, was awful. I don't know how we can not be ashamed of that kind of behavior. And it was dangerous, folks. It was dangerous at that point to show your support. You know, sometimes showing love, what did Jesus say? Putting your life on the line, amen? Putting your life on the line for somebody. Well, you know, there was a particular game and it was part of the story, it's part of the legend of Jackie Robinson, but Jackie made an error. And oh my God, the boo birds come out, amen? The boo birds come out, people were yelling at him, screaming, calling him all kinds of trash names. Well, the shortstop for the Brooklyn Dodgers was a fellow by the name of Pee Wee Reese. He come all the way across the field and put his arm around Jackie Robinson. And the next thing you know, the stadium got quiet. I would imagine they were shamed into silence. And Jackie Robinson said it saved his career. You see, that's what this is about. It's about giving that hug. It's not about fixing anything, folks. It's about meeting needs. And finally, I know that there are those that say, well, that's all fine and good, Pastor. But there are people in my life, you know what that is, right? And what did Jesus say? Love what was Jesus teaching? How many times you got to forgive? Seven? No, 70. And yes, seven for those that you want to take that literally, that's 490 times. But he wasn't talking literally. He's talking about the fact that we've got to forgive in order to live. It's not about the person you're forgiven. We've got to forgive in order to live. We've got to forgive in order to love. Yes, love does mean saying you're sorry. Yes, Love does include your enemies. It does not keep a record of wrongs. And no, it doesn't seek revenge. Forgiveness is actually the oil, if you will, that lubricates this engine we call life. There was a person by the name of Joe that got cheated out of a promised retirement about 15 years ago, and he knew for sure who did it. It was the new vice president in charge of personnel. And Joe has never gotten over it. Everyone who has spent more than 15 minutes with Joe has heard the story. Every taxi driver who has driven him more than 2 miles has heard the story. Every mailman knows the story. Every woman at every checkout counter knows the story. His rage has become his very being. Joe has become the bitterness that was done to him that day. Forgiveness is not easy. It's not excusing, but it is absolutely essential, folks, if we don't want to die bitter and alone. The disciples forgive because forgiveness fits faulty people. And who did Jesus call? The faulty people. Folks, there are none of us that are too good or so high up the ladder that we can't love one another, that we can't offer somebody a smile, that we can't offer somebody a hug and let somebody know that by the grace of God, you're forgiven. Amen.